Okay, so next talk, Jaroslav Kysela, working for Suzy. Those who don't know him, he's one of the main actors for ALSA since which year? Was it since 1997 or when you started?
1999.
A long time ago, you see? So which means a lot of things have happened in the last few years, and I think as the talk says, also the past year, Jaroslav will tell you what has happened since then. Go ahead.
Okay, thank you. So I will try to make a summary of the ALSA development in last year. So let's go. Here is a list of new drivers which we added to the ALSA driver package. You see that we support all of kinds of hardware from consumer to professional. I hope that this list is complete. Maybe Takashi will have some notices. I don't know because I compared sources, so I think that it's almost complete. We also extended other drivers. There was very large work to support new parts of hardware and to make all drivers more stable and to add the features to them. I prepared some statistic for the ALSA. I compared ALSA driver 093 versus ALSA driver 104. So we have 17% gain in the source edit files, so and about 15% gain in lines. I think that it's a great improvement because you must know that this code is almost debugged and there is no major development in the ALSA driver because we need to stabilize our code base and we need to there is no big progress so because application interfaces are almost stable. Also I compared our library same versions and there is almost same gain about 15-16%. So it's the same. Also we have this number hits on our web and FTP servers. So we have about 100,000 hits per day on our web server and we have about 5,000 hits per day at in our FTP server, and in last year we transferred about 1.5 terabytes from our primary server. So I think that it's quite big value and I hope that this will continue. We continued also with 2.6 kernel integration. We did many drivers cleanups and we introduced a new DMI application interface. It was by request from Russell King. It's a primary developer for ARM platform in Linux. We did also some cleanups for kconfig is a file which describes dependencies in 2.6 kernel, and also we did some cleanups in make files. Also now the configuration from our ASA driver package is parsed from kconfig files. So we have only one source for all dependencies now, which is, I think that it's quite good because we don't need to have our own configuration files, and we can merge our code from our development tree into 2.6 kernel more quickly. Also, we discovered some architecture dependent problems. It's especially that we are working with Intel platforms mostly, and there is no cache coherency problems because Intel platforms has always cache coherent accesses from both kernel and the user spaces. But for example, on ARM or some PowerPC and so on platforms, there is no guarantee that the cache coherency is assumptions from the ASA is met. But we proposed some extensions which I will implement when in near time, so we will solve this issue. So I think that it won't be a problem for future. Also, I set up Mantis tracking tool. I think that it's a very good tool. We can do with it almost everything what we expected from this system. In 3 months, there were 184 reports. We have 81 reports still open, and in for the driver package, and for the library we have 20 reports, and 7 is still is still open. It was okay. Other packages there was only negligible counts for reports, so I didn't wrote anything. Okay, so here are some problems which we have with driver debugging. There are too many variations, especially for cheap hardware, and so the problems are mostly with integrated sound cards on motherboards, and sound cards which contains AC97 codecs. But unfortunately, it's most of current sound cards. The problems are that we need to have a datasheet for every AC97 codecs, and we need to determine the wire connections between the PCI sound bridge and these codecs, and it's not usually it's slow process because we mostly don't have this hardware, and so we need to ask users and for more informations, and so it's very slow process. Also, we need, if we have hardware, we need to set up some testing environment. In most cases, it might be time consuming because we need to install software, set up hardware, plug the hardware in computers, and so on. And also, it might be impossible for some cases, for many cases, because we can't reproduce exactly the same hardware combination, because, for example, we don't have same motherboard and so on, and it's mostly so we aren't able to catch or to reproduce all kind of problems. We have problems, for example, with ACPI setup or IRQ routing in Linux kernel. So it's very difficult to do it. So we really rely on user problem reports. So they are very important for us, and we can't debug driver without them. Also, development problems in general. We have always limited human resources, so if we do one thing, we can do, or we can do very slowly other things. Now we prefer driver maintenance because it's important if users or developers don't have sound from driver, then it's bad because they can't use applications and they can't also debug their applications and so on. Also, we prefer bug fixing because application interfaces are almost stabilized, and so there is three which what we prefer. We prefer fixing bugs in driver package, then we prefer fixing bugs in library package, and utilities and tools are the same priority. So we fix these bugs, but we don't do more development in this area. So we are happy if someone other sends us some good utility in this package, for this package, or for these packages. So it's okay. Some notes about hardware vendors. We have about three categories for hardware vendors. The first category is very cooperative. They give us documentation for this hardware, they give us hardware, and also they are able to answer technical questions about their hardware. Second one is give us only documentation. It's also good because we can also if we have access to hardware, then we can create a good driver. And the third category is we have no documentation, and it's almost impossible to get some documentation from them. The first example, Core Sound. When I did PD Audio CF driver, and it was perfect communication between me and this company. They gave me contacts to hardware engineers, so we debug problems together. The second example is well-known company, it's Creative Labs, and we have very almost we have almost every time problems to get any information for new hardware from this company. I think that it's too big company, and it's very difficult to reach right person to make a decision if the documentation will be available and so on. Also, we sign some NDAs to get attached for older ISA chips, and PCI chips we got information mostly from their open source driver. But I must say that their open source driver, I think that this driver will be or was developed from some other from other information like from patents or something like this. So there was some, I think that also there wasn't very strong communication between creative and this project. Also, we have almost no information for new ODG LS and EMU 10K X chips, and so it will be difficult to do driver for these chips. I think that we have only one way is now to this moment, and it's so we can do reverse engineering of drivers from open sound. So it's also not very big fun. Okay, some notes why we decided to release 1.0 really. The reasons are that 2.6 kernel, final kernel was released. We also think that kernel APIs are matured enough to tell others that they can use ALSA in their applications. Also, many applications at current time have ALSA support. Also, we wanted to send a message to all developers that ALSA is ready for full use now. Okay, some words about future, planned future. I can promise something because we are always busy with maintenance of current drivers and current code, but our plan is to move instrument layer to ALSA library. It means that we want to move more kernel code from kernel to the user space. Also, we need to have a better wavetable support for many drivers which are capable to do it. Also, we want to improve, of course, low-level drivers for sound cards. Some notes about library future. We are playing with integrated Lisp interpreter, which will help us to better express our configuration requirements, especially for mixer interface and maybe also PPCM interface. We also want to finish design and implementation of extensions, especially abstract mixer, because actually we don't have any abstract mixer. We have only access to hardware capabilities, but many users ask us, for example, why master volume for creative cards doesn't control rear output, and that is exactly the situation that in hardware there is no connection between master volume and rear output, but we need to create some abstract layer which will allow us to create a master mixer component which will do it in the user space. We don't want to do this abstraction in kernel space. Also, we want to finish simple PCM initialization. It's only small extension to current PCM API, which will move the common part initialization parts from applications to ALSA library. Of course, it's meant for simple or for common applications. If you, I don't think, for example, that Jack or these big applications or application extensions will need this code. We also need to design good runtime configuration interface. What is it? It's something like, for example, if you need software volume control for some streams, then you need to change this value of volume in runtime, and we need to design some interface which will create or which will allow controlling of some plugin in ASA library in at runtime. We also need to work on the instrument layer. It's quite unfinished part of ASA. Also, we need to split library to modules, for especially for embedded solutions. For example, ASA is running on IPEC small PDAs, and it's I think that most of parts from the ASA library are only wasting of space in flash memory in these devices, so we need to allow to choose only parts of this library. For utilities, I think that we need to make a graphical configuration utility for ASA library. Because many users, especially many standard users, not advanced users, aren't able to edit some configuration files and to learn some new syntax or and so on. So we would like to allow to have a nice graphical tool which will do these changes more interactively. So this tool should control data flow, and also it should allow assign hardware input outputs, for example speakers and or some microphones, connection between these I/O to applications. Okay, last word. I'd like to thank you, my SUSE company, that I have still big freedom to develop the ASA project. So, do you have any questions?
So, any audience questions? Konrad up there. So I do my usual task of running up and down. Dave, not you. First Konrad.
Thank you. On the last screen there were some points. Can you explain this integrated Lisp? Why do you want to use Lisp?
Well,
and
okay.
Just this is the first, and the second one is, can you tell me something about the instrument layer? What you think about that? What you mean?
Okay.
With
okay.
That?
Integrated Lisp is we need some language which will allow to okay, the current situation is that we have only static configuration language. We have only static syntax, and we have some runtime extensions to this syntax. For example, if we need to load some another file depending on the used hardware, we need to use some hooks to this static language, and it's not very fine. And also we need, for example, for example, hardware parameters changed. They have some constraints. Yes, and if we want to describe these constraints in some higher, for some higher layer, then it's almost impossible or very difficult to describe these constraints and this abstract layer in with a static syntax. So we need a solution. We need some interpreter which will allow us to to do this description. I don't know if you understand me, but we are always fighting with static parameters and dynamic parameters. Yes, and so we need some dynamic language, and so we our evolution. I studied some interpreters, and it seems that Lisp is only one interpreter which can be implemented in 64 kilobytes of code. It's very, very small interpreter, and we can do good joining of this interpreter with all code. So I think that it might be good solution. But it's future. It's not for 1.0, but it's for 1.1 or maybe some other development release of our library. I have some implementation of Lisp in current code, but it's still only for debugging and for for debugging purposes. Okay, the second question was about instrument layer. Instrument layer is mostly for wavetable devices, but it may be on will be designed to support all other devices which can load or which can work with instruments. Instrument is for us sound font or some or any data which can which have some information about final sound for some device. So it might be wavetable data, or it might be some parameters for devices. So it's some data container which will carry some information for the final device, what needs to be played when some note is pressed or something like this. So this layer will handle loading and managing these data containers. Yes, so. Maybe we plan to most of this code will be implemented in library, and in drivers we will use hardware in hardware dependent devices, because almost all hardware is different in this area, so we can do something abstract in driver. Okay, is this enough, or do we have?
Okay, there was one more question by Dave first.
I'm not sure if this is actually appropriate for Takashi, but is your in your opinion, Jaroslav, is the OSS compatibility library complete? Would you call it finished?
Oh yes, no, it's not finished.
Sorry, that's a good answer. Oh, okay, thank you. Well, perfectly clear.
Well, it's not a compete. We are trying to fix the problems, but this development isn't our primary development. Yeah, because we think that all OSS applications can be ported to ALSA. So it's not. But of course, there are some binary. We are especially fighting with binary only applications because we need to use some hacks or some ugly things to make this application work with ALSA, and it's not. We know that it's not good, but personally, I don't see a better way than creating a huge code in ALSA in kernel to provide some emulation for all kinds of applications. And the problem is that there are two paths. We have one path is that we are doing OSS emulation in kernel, and the second path is that we have OSS emulation library. So OSS emulation library can use ALSA library, so we can use all features from ALSA library in this connection. But if we use only OSS emulation in kernel, there are two ways. We use only one way, it's direct connection to ALSA driver. And the second way is that we will route this stream again to user space, for example, to OSS emulation library, and then send it over ALSA library to driver. But this, I don't think that this way is also good, because that is next layer between in the emulation path, in the stream path, yeah. And maybe we might implement this. We might solve this problem in this way, but I personally think that it's only wasting of our time. We can do almost everything, but the problem is that there are some performance impacts, and there are problems that with human resources, that we have always some other interesting problems to solve. So we provide some ways. I know that they might fail in some situations, but actually we have no better code.
Okay, there is one more question from the audience here, and after that I'll pass the microphone to Jörn for some questions from outside.
I guess I was just wondering why you're choosing Lisp for a configuration language rather than, say, something like XML or...
XML is too big. If you have XML parser, then it's very big, and I think that XML is only also static. You need to... Dynamic things must be implemented. Yes, so...
What's an example of a dynamic configuration object that has to change that Lisp can service that XML couldn't, or an XML schema couldn't address? Like, what's an example, say, for a Lisp solution?
I think that Purple's problem is that XML is the parser is too big. That is the first problem, because if we do our library dependent on some other library, for example, with XML parser, then we will have problems with some embedded devices where it's not possible, for example, to have complete XML library. So we are also looking for some very very small interpreter. To this time, I found only Lisp as the best solution. So maybe we can discuss these things on our mailing list. Yes, because we have more room, and maybe other participants will have some ideas. So. I want to say that Lisp isn't my last word or all last word, yeah, because So if you have some idea and you have very good arguments, then we might choose our opinion. So.
Okay, we have I think two or three questions from the web. Kjörn?
Yeah, here's a question by Luke Jelovic. He wants to know, you said that you intend to design a graphical configuration utility for various configuration files. Do you also intend to provide a text-based interface like what AlsaConf currently has?
Okay. Well, I think that it might be possible, but also this graphical configuration utility is only idea, and I'd like to implement it, but I don't have any, I don't know any details, so maybe it might work in text mode too, but I am not, okay. I take this request as request, and maybe it will be evaluated, and we will do that. So.
Okay. The second question from IRC is by MG Ray, and he asks about. He's also referring to the Lisp thing. He asks, "Will this Lisp be in the kernel like Schemix, or will you be using Schemix to do this?"
No. I was talking about us library, so this integrated Lisp will be only in this library. We need to describe dynamic relationships between parameters and abstract layers. So it will be only for configuration in us library.
And the last question from chat is Eric Jevnitsky. He wants to know, has the novel acquisition of Zuse affected you and Takashi at all?
well, not. Not at all. We have no changes caused by this acquisition. So. Research and development department in our company is working like before, so there are no changes. I think that these changes are mostly in management and in business department. So. Okay.
There was one more question by Frank van de Poel.
Thank you. Jaroslav, in your sheets you mentioned that there are various levels of commitment from driver from hardware vendors.
Yes.
Regarding the development and development resources you have available.
Yes.
Would it be possible some way to indicate to users of Linux that a certain driver or hardware board is supported by a certain level, yes or no? Because there's now the matrix, the grid with lists a certain amount of chipsets, and if there is a driver, yes or no. But I think to a customer, if someone wants to buy a new sound card, it's a very important decision point if it has fully supported a driver. So not only a reverse engineered driver, which
yes.
does work.
Fairly. Yes. Yes. I think that this question is very important. We have some car metrics which should indicate if there is some basic or advanced support for in the ALSA. But you know, this thing is maintained, or this is is made from requests or from user reports. Yes, so the quality also of these metrics depends on these reports. So I think that these metrics might be improved, but we are still looking for some volunteer or for some people to maintain this database.
Would better visibility help that the hardware vendors which fully support Linux Audio
yes.
also get their logo on the ALSA website, for instance?
it's interesting idea and
by
RME. It's my work, but I don't have to. That the main page of ASA project has only logos, so yes, I welcome any ideas to improve this situation. So maybe also you might post your ideas to mailing list, and we might discuss them.
Okay, then one more question from the audience. I think it was maybe two. I'm not sure yet.
My question is, are there any plans on documentation or something? Because last time I tried to set up an ALSA configuration file, I had a hard time figuring out how this stuff works.
Yes. We know this situation, and we are always looking for people who will help us with this. But we are trying, or for developers, we are trying to have documentation embedded to our code. We are using Doxygen tool to generate documentation from source code. And but it's true that we need also documentation for standard users. And personally, I hope that some people help us to improve this situation. So we are, I and Takashi and also other people are mostly developers. So it's difficult to express, or we probably in this area we know many things, and it's difficult to express some basic things to users because we don't know what they know. So it's better if documentation will wrote some people who has the is on the same level as standard users, and they, if he or she ask us for the information and wrote it. So yeah. Yes, we want to help to improve this situation, but actually it's a bit problem from the timeline and so on to do it for us. Maybe Takashi have some notes about this.
There is a wiki page, and on that there is an FAQ list, and well, everyone can help and build on that a tutorial or yes, and documentation. So it's but it's basically still open question, how we can organize and how we can do that.
Well, maybe that's a good idea, because if we have these data, we can use them in the future. So if someone write some small piece in our wikis, then I think that it will be, I am sure that it will be reused in future in some maybe better document. Okay.
Yeah, I think we take one last question from the audience, and then the rest will have to be done individually.
Okay, I work for a commercial audio equipment manufacturer, and I guess my question is, organizationally at ALSA, is there a single point of contact that we could contact to, say, send hardware to for Linux driver development? Is there an organizational structure set up for contact with commercial developers right now, or is it kind of de facto whoever you can talk to, whenever you can talk to in the project? I mean, like, the question is really, is there an ALSA point of contact for commercial developers to start getting Linux support done by the ALSA team rather than doing it ourselves? Like, right now we manufacture audio equipment for, we're an OEM manufacturer for some fairly significant players in the audio industry, but we don't want to have to invest the time in the Linux driver side of stuff if there is a team of volunteers that we can properly support. But the question is, how do we support them? What do we give them? You know, there's a certain risk from our investment in terms of writing up documentation and sending off hardware to some random student that we don't even know off on the net to get a Linux driver written. If we can get it coordinated by ELSA, how do we do that? In other words, is there a plan for that organizationally?
Basically, the most companies which are involved in Linux development are trying to hire or to sponsor developers so they can work, for example, for full time or, for example, for some part of their time on the project. So the first type of this sponsoring or is sponsoring of development, and also
Let me repeat the question for outside. So how do we sponsor you? How can they sponsor you?
Okay, so for example, if you say that you have some amount of money, we can do some announcement on our web pages, in our mailing list, and if anyone is interested to solve some part of ASA or to create a new driver for some hardware and so on, then you can have some contracts between these people and your company. So it's the first. Also, for example, I know that there are many other possibilities. For example, we can create some non-profit, I think, organization, and we can join developers there. So you may send money to this organization, but this organization isn't founded. But if there is demand from companies like ours, then we may do this. So but in Linux, most of these types of sponsoring are settled between individuals and companies. So we can do some advertisement that you are willing to sponsor the ASA project, and if anyone from our team is willing to do some work in ASA, also you may, for example, you may specify your what you want to for these people. So it's, I think that there are, we can find some ways to do it. But open source, you know, open source world is mostly individuals which are doing some pieces, so I hope that, yes. So I think that it is enough from my side. Maybe we can talk more about this problem later.
Okay, then I have just a few words to add when we had this question about documentation and what to do there. So I think if it wasn't becoming clear, this was a clear request to technical authors. For instance, I think we don't have any book yet on ALSA programming. So I believe someone who is both a technical writer and has some Linux background, even in sound programming, he would get very good funding from you by information that he might receive or might need for such a book, or maybe even just a complex document, not only the Doxygen stuff, this reference manual, but also a real user and developer's manual. So I think anyone who is willing to do this, you know, Linux is much more fun if you participate. Just go for that. Okay, then I think we have to stop at this point. Jaroslav, thank you very much.
Thank you.